Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp.
Why do so many men find themselves aimless and without direction? What compels a man to enlist in the military or join a fraternity? And what is the recipe for a midlife crisis? This week, Casey and I sit down with Jason Gaddis, a psychotherapist and founder of InnerNature.org, to explore initiation into manhood, rites of passage, and why there are so many 30-year-old boys walking around this country.
What is initiation into manhood? What are guys missing out there in today?
I think a lot of guys are trying to sort of unconsciously initiate themselves by joining a sports team, going to war, joining a fraternity, and they have no real awareness of what they're doing. They're just sort of joining something because it feels good to be in community, to be in relationship with people, to find some kind of meaning or purpose. Mm-hmm. The problem is, though, that a lot of men aren't getting supported around that, joining those things and making the decisions they want in a conscious way. And then they end up, in my opinion, being, you know, 45 and pretty confused about what they're doing in life and pretty frustrated with the life they're living, and because it lacks meaning.
Right. So what are these you identified a couple of those places where there's war, it's the military, it's a fraternity, all these things kind of represent that doorway. I mean, I know when you join a fraternity, it's early on in college, and when you leave a fraternity at the end of your college time, you should be a man, right? There's a transitory period there?
Yeah, there is. The fraternities don't speak about it that way. Mm-hmm. You're just joining a fraternity because you want to make friends, learn how to be a good community citizen, leader, and you go out into the world, and perhaps your fraternity connections are your friends for life, and they'll help you get a job, etc. Mm-hmm.
So beyond the network, though, it seems like there's something else that's driving guys to want to join a fraternity, or there's something else that's driving guys to do other behavior in certain parts of their life.
Yes.
Can you speak to that?
Yeah. If you think about it, every culture across time has some kind of initiatory process of when an adolescent becomes a man. And this culture, unfortunately, doesn't have that. Hmm. And so there's groups like fraternity, the military, clubs, you know, different sports teams that sort of emulate that, but no one's naming it as, hey, we're going to help you become a man. And fathers aren't doing it with their sons. Grandfathers aren't in there. So guys are sort of left hanging. And then my view is they sort of, from a psychological perspective, they unconsciously seek out and long for meaning and being a part of something and going through some ordeal to become a man. So they then self-initiate. They put themselves through ordeals, as Joseph Campbell would say, to become a man.
So it's not just a fraternity, and it's not just the military. There's guys that don't go through any kind of organized group that are seeking this as well.
Yeah, my view is all men are seeking this.
Yeah, I really resonate with that. I mean, I was talking with you guys earlier. I found myself in a similar place when I was 18, I got to college, and I just wasn't sure that I was a man yet. And I felt like a boy, and I'm like, I have to prove myself. I had this deep longing to prove myself. So I joined a fraternity, and I didn't really get it from that. And I took really hard labor jobs and didn't get it from that. I took a trip to Alaska and worked salmon fishing and I started to get it from that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's all these like self trials that I put myself through. And at the time, I didn't realize what I was doing. I didn't call it, oh, this is my rite of passage. But looking back on it, that's what it became, like mm-hmm. a culminating transition from boy to man. And for me, that was, I think, invaluable.
What is the ideal ordeal then?
Really good question. I would say an ideal ordeal, meaning going through something really difficult to sort of become a man, would be being supported and held and challenged by a group of other men. And again, in every other community across time, the elders of the community would initiate the young boys into manhood, sometimes at 13, sometimes at 20, depending on the culture. And we, again, in this day and age, we don't have that. There's no community of men that are, with respect and love, initiating men. So you get the fraternity group, for example, and they're initiating sort of men, but again, no one's calling it initiation into manhood, and half the alumni are wasted, and they're hazing you. It's the same in the military.
They're just beating the shit out
of you, they're just beating the shit out of you. They're disrespecting you, all in the name of, oh, you have to sort of earn your way into the fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
But again, underneath that is you have to go through something difficult to become a man. And that speaks to young men big time. They're like, yeah, bring it on. In fact, all the fraternity guys I work with out in the wilderness, the trips I lead, I ask them, if you could do it all over again, would you be hazed like you were? And 9 times out of 10, the guys say, hell yes. Absolutely.
Why? Because, why is that?
Because I earned it. Because I went through something tough that made me become this member, and it made it that much more meaningful and valuable because I had to bust my ass and go through hell basically to get into this thing.
So these guys, if I hear you correctly, they're going through an ordeal. They say they wouldn't change it, but at the same time, it's still not serving a deeper calling, a need to forward something. What's missing there? Kind of speak that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Casey brought up is there's a lot missing. Again, one is just the consciousness around it, naming that actually what we're sort of attempting to do here, guys, is initiate you into manhood. Hmm. You know, and we're not going to do it with any drugs or alcohol or anything. We're going to do it with love and respect. We're going to do it in some kind of container, meaning a month-long kind of ordeal or a week or a trip out to the wilderness. Elders, older men who have been through a conscious initiation process, then facilitating for younger men. I mean, the elders are dropping the ball too. The older men in the society are dropping the ball. Like, they're leaving young men to basically adolescence to initiate adolescence into manhood. And it doesn't work like that in other cultures. So we're blowing it.
Where do you think, without getting too far off track, like, where do you think the ball got dropped in our culture?
That's a tough one. I don't know. I think it's definitely more of a modern people kind of problem. Meaning, you know, in the last 100 years or so, like, a lot of the direction of things have things come easier for some people, and people don't want to have to work too hard for something. And even in the fraternity movement, there's a big push away from hazing, which is right on. However, they're not replacing it with anything. And then guys aren't even having to go through something difficult to become, you know, a fraternity brother or a man.
They hand over a check.
They just hand over a check and give you the pin and, you know, you're now a member. Mm. And a lot of the undergraduates and the young guys think that's BS. And I do too. It still needs to come with some kind of ordeal, but not beating the shit out of people emotionally or physically or whatever.
Maybe take a stab and describe the healthy fraternity or healthy military or healthy version of what a modern ritual would look like to initiate a guy into manhood.
Well, you know, I do some trips like this where we'll go out into the woods with, you know, 10 guys for a week, and they do a mini vision quest. And what a vision quest is, you know, in traditional cultures, it's where a young man, let's say he's a Native American, will go out of his village and alone into the wilderness. And he'll be sent off by the elders of the community and say, don't come back until you're a man. That might be the thing. Or they'll say, we're going to support you while you go do a vision quest and you pray for a vision for our people and for yourself and what the meaning of your own life is. And they'll go sit for 4 days and four nights with no food and pray and fast and really try to connect to the earth, to their ancestors, and to themselves to find out what they're supposed to do with their life. And we don't do that. Again, we're lost, and we supposedly follow all these shoulds into college, and I should get a job right after college, and I should do this, and I should make this much money, and I should get a house with a white picket fence. And
if you're saying that leads to to the midlife crisis, that's a recipe for the midlife crisis.
That's a recipe for midlife crisis when the guy's 45 and is like, dude, my life is meaningless and I don't know why and I'm a mess and I hate my life and I hate my job and I hate my wife and my kids and I want out. And then they unconsciously exit, maybe having an affair or whatever. But if we could just come back to sort of basic principles of the earth and rely and draw upon other traditions that have been doing this for thousands and thousands of years, it's not that tough. Like, if we could just take a note from their playbook and go, how did they do it? Oh, cool. Maybe we should try to do something like that. Mm-hmm. So on these wilderness trips, the guys will go out for six nights, and one of the nights is a 24-hour solo and a vision fast, and they'll fast too, and that's optional. And a lot of these guys most of these guys have never spent a night alone to themselves ever. And for a lot of them, a lot of fear comes up, and they see a lot of cool things. They experience, you know, a lot of intensity. And it's very powerful. They come back looking different, literally. I mean, when they walk into camp, it's like you're seeing a different dude, period. It's like, whoa, this guy went through something last night.
And you lead these, right?
Yeah.
You lead these? And this is through innernature.org?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, wouldn't it be cool if we could all go through some initiatory process? I mean, it doesn't have to look like, say, the trips I lead. It can look a lot of different ways, but we as a culture of men, I think, are blowing it for the younger generation, for these adolescents who are, they're 17, 18, maybe they have a drug addiction, and maybe they're getting straight A's and they're going to Harvard. But again, where's the meaning to them in their heart? If they got really honest with themselves, they would probably acknowledge that there is some kind of longing in them for something, for what? For perhaps to become who they are, to really embody the true meaning of their life purpose and their vision. And they're sort of left hanging out there.
That conversation and that question is so vacant. Like it's just totally. Not even on, it's like one of the central tenets. It's like if we were trying to circle this thing, like that feels like what's at the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
You never hear that conversation. Not in normal day to day or anything like, I don't know. People are ready to put their identities with a corporation or with something else without ever really checking out what their own identity is.
Correct.
What their own meaning and purpose is.
Yeah, I am my job. Like, so I'm a lawyer. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's who I am. And, okay, that's who you are on some level. And who are you below that? You know, who are you beneath an attorney? Who are you underneath being a doctor,
mm-hmm.
being a husband, being a father? Like, what? Where is, you know, where are you? Who are you? What are you? And I challenge all men to ask that question.
Join us next week with Jason Gaddis as we examine the film Into the Wild, how pride gets in the way of living a more meaningful life, and why some men are drawn to flirt with death.